did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say yeah.
You created me to worship.
Oh yeah.
did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Trust in you. Oh,
I will trust
you. Trust in you.
Thank you, Lord. Welcome, family, to the Now Network News at 6, 8, and 9. And yes, it seemed like it was a worship party. I heard that song today, and I had to begin this broadcast with that by this one saying, I was not created to fear. Doubt. And that's what it's all about, encouraging you not to fear, not to have pain, not to have doubt, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, we are excited today for the Now Network News at 6, 8, and 9 p.m. here on the Now Network Live. Yes, Pastor E, Minister Terry, Minister Rashad, we will co-anchor this news at 6 live each Wednesday. I will bring a pastoral view on Christian news along with a unique perspective and dialogue on hot topics. I'll also provide some biblical solutions and answers in the special segment of Ask the Pastor. Come on, if you have a question, please submit your questions. We can go live with it or send it, and I can answer next week. Minister Terry will keep us up to date with the word, what's the word on current events in the nation, our national situations, plus our global situations and things like that, but also how the word is important to keep us strong. And then, oh my God, Minister Rashad is going to continue to keep us informed on our financial news, but in principles that can change your life right now. My life has already changed after each broadcast that I minister and co-anchor with these mighty women of God and man of God, that God moves so mightily in my life. So I can testify that God is moving. We're going to do our normal introductions, and I'm going to break off and do our first segment of our making a format and a setting it down. Then we'll bring Minister Terry, and then our money minute, which is I need to say this completely. It's not a minute. It is called Money Minute, but it is a segment of 15 to 20 minutes of financial news that can help you change your finances. Good evening, woman of God. How are you tonight, Minister Terry?
Good evening. Good evening, family. I am blessed and highly favored. Ooh, glory to God. And Pastor E, I know you said you're going to do the introductions, but this week I want to make sure that we start off with prayer, because someone had requested special prayer, and she should be on the line tonight.
And her name is?
Jennifer.
All right.
Last name, you need her last numbers?
If she wants to come on live, yes, have her, please, Jennifer, dial one right now. We'll bring you up. See, that song was so perfect.
Yes.
I wish you would have dialed one. Dial one, let me know that we need to change the format, and we would have been staying in the Holy Ghost.
Oh,
we are going to
amen.
Usher ourselves right now into that place. Prayer is most, news is fourth, fifth down the line. Prayer is number one. And this network is always dedicated to prayer. We want to pray for Jennifer. If there's somebody else out there tonight that needs prayer or wants to pray with us, I know my covenant prayer warriors are already stepping in, already getting in line. I want to continue to pray for the Now Network housing situation and God putting that on the altar today of the Now Network, continue to grow without having to charge. Thanking God for P2P Ministries to continue to become successful in our business endeavors. Minister Terry and her position at Titans, continue to minister Rashad and growing him in the things that he's about to partner. I see a partnership growing, my brother, and you, I'm going to bring you on here in a minute and go from there. Jennifer, please dial one if you are online. Good evening, Minister Rashad. I want to bring you live as we get ready to pray. Minister Terry, you're still there. Good evening, man of God. How are you?
Oh, good evening, Pastor E. I am blessed and highly favored. Good evening, Minister Terry. Good evening, Now Network family. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here once again. I am great and blessed and highly favored. Excited to be here and excited to share some new words today.
Amen, 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 amen. But I want to use you as an intercessor as well as Minister Terry. Area code 623, last four, 2094. This is Pastor E and the Now Network News team. Is this Jennifer?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you this evening? I know we talked last
Not
week.
I'm good. I need prayer.
Well, no, you're going to
so
get
bad.
Prayer. You're going to get prayer. You're going to get prayer. And I'm so glad that you did dial. I don't even want to talk about what or any particulars. I just want to say, first of all, let us embrace you. We want to first take away any obligation you feel by your words to ask for prayer. We want to stand in the gap for you tonight and say, peace. I need you to find a place of peace that you can just rest right now as we speak some words into your life that are going to change things and that are going to really manifest the power of God right now because of your faith. But because of the words that we preach, and then also the effectual fervent prayers of righteous men, that means us men and women, we are the same in God's eyes. The effectual fervent prayers of righteous men availeth much. We're going to see some things avail much tonight in your life, not a tomorrow answer. I'm praying for a right now answer and a right now move of God because we are in here for you. I want to, first of all, submit myself on the altar for you. Jennifer, I ask God that if I could stand in the gap and take away some pain, give it to me. I think I'm strong enough to withstand. If I can withstand a sickness, give it to me. I believe I'm strong enough to make it through to tomorrow by my faith. To stand healed. And I'm asking my other covenant partners out there to open up the portion room and not just talking about it, but really stand in the gap for this woman right now. Don't ask why. Don't ask what's going on. Don't ask what she needs. Just give into her life. I'm asking for some deposits to be made right now in the Holy Spirit. Oh, are we talking about finances? Let's talk about some Holy Spirit bank accounts. Let's make some spiritual deposits into Jennifer's life right now, not by power, not by might, but by the divine spirit of God right now. I believe, in the name of Jesus, that Jennifer is about to be healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, from the left to the right, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, because of the hedge that is being formed around and about her by believers that are standing in the gap for her right now. Oh, Lord, take away her burden. Take away her pain. Take away her this depression. Take away her situation. Provide for her in any area that she feels she is about to lose it. Lord, give her the strength to climb. Oh, my God. Give her the strength to climb. Give her the strength to climb and reach you. That you could get the glory through her testimony, that you could get the glory through her praise, that you could get the glory through her willingness to die for you today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, my God. In the mighty name of Jesus.
And I'd like to say, God bless and I love Sister Terry. She always deceives that she called me, it has to be God. When I'm really down and going through something, you keep me going. I say, thank you, Jesus.
I just want to say this to you. I hear this word echoing right now. It's not me. I never said it. I'm just repeating something that I know God has spoke. Jesus said, get up, take up your mat, and walk.
Okay.
Every time the negativity comes, every time the depression comes, every time something says you can't, get up, take up your mat and walk. That is a prophetic word from God right now for you. Don't worry about what your physical can do right now. Get your physical after you get your spiritual.
Okay.
Live in the spirit and watch him take care of the rest.
Okay.
And take
I'm
care
so
of you,
glad
Jennifer.
I called in and Jerry called me today. I'm just so...
Oh, my God. If anyone else would like, love to pray right now, I want to open the lines for prayer. I want to allow and Minister Rashad, don't hold back. If Minister Terry, don't hold back.
Amen.
I want to keep this in an atmosphere of worship. We have time tonight. Don't worry about the time. We're gonna make time for
Amen.
News if you need to know it. But I know we need prayer and we need to be in supplication for the woman of God. It ain't just a 5-minute prayer and let it go. We need to intercede
Amen.
For her right now. And oh my God, come on.
Amen.
This is not a news broadcast tonight. This is
no,
a
heavenly
prayer vigil and a service right now for Jennifer.
Yes,
come on, pray
heavenly
with us
Father.
Tonight.
Yes, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Heavenly Father, to touch Jennifer's body. Touch her, Father. Lift her up, Father. Lift her up and strengthen her where she is needed. Father God, I want you to reassure her that she can call you. She can call me. She can call Pastor E, Minister Rashad. She can call on you anytime, Father, that she needs prayer, Father. Father God, I want her to just, Sister Jennifer, to just trust you. Lay it all down to you. We have spoke. Just lay it all down to you. He hears. He knows your needs. Father God, I pray that she takes heed to the words that are spoken to her tonight, because I tell you, Father God, you know Jennifer, Sister Jennifer's heart. She has a heart of gold, Father God, and you know her needs right now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that Sister Jennifer be strengthened and she have peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. And Father God, I pray, and I pray that she continues to open that word where she feels discouraged. Anywhere she opens your word, Father God, will lift her up. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray these prayers to you, Father God, for our beautiful sister Jennifer. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I needed this.
Mighty name Thank of you. Jesus, in the mighty name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus, Mr. Rashad,
would
you pray?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sister Jennifer.
Yes.
Sister Jennifer. Know that you are loved. Know that you are special. Know that the mighty right hand of God is on you. God will not leave you or forsake you. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus, we just come tonight, Lord, thanking you, Lord, for removing the doubt, the hesitation, the reservation. Satan, I come against you right now in the matchless name, Lord Jesus. I decree and declare in the authority name of the name, Lord Jesus, that we come against your dark ways, your impregnating of the imagination. We stand against that right now. We bind up those enemies and those spirits that are warring against us right now in the name, Lord
Jesus,
that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Father God, we know that you have not given us the spirit of fear. We don't fear anything. Even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. We will fear no reports. We will fear no naysayers. We will fear no accusation. Father God, I ask you right now, as we come together, where two among us have joined together in your name, we release now the virtue, the power of heaven, the power of heaven. Thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done. Have your way, Lord. Have your way this evening, Lord. Have thy own way. Not my will be done, but let your will be done, Lord. You know what our sister needs even before she asks of it, Lord. Father God, just let her touch the hem of your garment tonight.
Yes, Jesus.
Father God, just speak a word of deliverance. You are the God of salvation. You are the God second
yes,
chances.
Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
We won't believe the lies, the trick, because he's the father of lies, the father of confusion, the father of dissent. We believe in the living God who's here with us, who's here with us right now. Got his arms around you, sister. Got his arms around you, holding you tight with all his
yes.
might.
Yes,
Lord.
He's
thank you, Father.
He's more than able. He's a way maker. He's a way maker out of no way. He is that vine. He is that branch that we never let go. We're going to sleep good tonight. Oh, he's going to lay us down in the valley. He's going to lay us down in the green pastures, in the green pastures.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He sets the table before us. In the presence of our enemies, in the presence of our enemies. Yeah, they may be around, but in the presence of our enemies. Woo! God, anoint her head. Anoint her head. We put
right
the
now,
blood
please.
Of Jesus on the top of your head, down to the bottom of your toes. Be gone, Satan, right now. Be gone. Be gone,
in
fear.
In the
be
name.
Be gone, symptoms, right now. Be gone, be gone.
In the name.
For this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord made this day. The Lord made this day. Satan, ain't nothing you can do about it. Father God, I ask you to surround her right now.
In the
Sending
name
your
of
angelical
Jesus.
Angels, Lord, to surround
right
her and to keep her in all of our ways.
Help her, Lord.
Father God, help bury her. Put her, Father God, put her behind in the secret place. In the secret place of the Most High. Father God, where she can hold her head up. Father God, let her know that this too shall pass. Let her know that the enemy has nothing. Nothing that the God cannot break down, destroy, null and void. I cancel it out right now. I cancel it out. Whatever it is, I cancel it. Null and void, destroy, picked up, thrown out. I throw it back into the sea where it cannot resurface. I put it back into the pit of hell and seal it to the day of redemption. Father God, you're all powerful.
Yes,
all knowing.
Yes,
all seeing.
Yes,
the wise, the great, the awesome, mighty God. Our sisters. Jennifer is healed. Accept your healing. You are healed. You are safe. You are comforted because the comforter is there with you. All authority and all power is in him. And through him, he is with you. And through you. And for you.
Jesus.
Father God, give her the victory tonight. We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Almighty God, for what you have already done. We celebrate the victory of turning a new leaf. Lord, we thank you for withering away the old and transforming into the new. Now let your light shine upon our sister here tonight. Whatever city, town, or state she's in, we break up the dark spirits that are in the eye ways, the hair ways, the talk ways, and any other ways in between. We clear those ear out right now that her home is clean, her house is clean, and more importantly, her body and temple is clean. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Have your way. Peace.
Evangelist Virginia.
Amen.
Yes, I am here. I am here, man.
Go ahead.
God.
Go ahead. Pray. Just pray. Just pray.
Oh, pray. Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God, we come right now on behalf of Sister Jennifer. Lord, we don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. But I thank you, Jesus, that you said that you have took sickness and disease in your body on the cross. That if we bear to sin, we might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes she's already healed. Father, I thank you right now that you took sickness and diseases on your body. Whatever it is you're going through, Sister Jennifer, I need you to say, Lord, I believe I received my healing. I believe I received my healing tonight, not tomorrow, not next week, but tonight. Say, I receive my healing. I believe I receive
Come
my
on,
healing
speak it.
Tonight.
Speak it.
Say it. Speak it in the name of Jesus.
Speak it.
Come on.
Amen.
Say, I believe I receive my healing tonight.
I believe I receive it.
Because Jesus took sickness on his body. He took it on his body. Let me tell you something. God laid all sickness and diseases up on Jesus. Jesus bore your sickness. He bore your sin. He bore it all on his body because God laid it on Jesus. It's not yours. It don't belong to you. It belongs to God and Jesus.
Ooh,
Satan, I come right now against the name of Jesus. Satan, I
break your power, hallelujah, Jesus. And I lose the power of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, Jesus. Now, Father, I lose your love and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Oh,
hallelujah.
I thank you, Lord God. We come against anxiety right now. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to speak it in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. I come against anxiety right now in the name of Jesus. I come against panic attack right now in the name of
Jesus.
Satan, you lose your hold. You lose your hold. Lose your hold. And we speak healing into her body right now. We speak healing into her body right now in the name of Jesus. Sister Jennifer, God loves you. I say God loves you.
Yes.
And whatever it is you're going through, you need to give it to Jesus right now. Now, when, now,
yes.
Right now, hey, Jesus. Right now, go ahead on and give it to Jesus. Lay it all on Jesus tonight. Lay it on it. That's what he's there for.
Yes.
Lay it on it, hallelujah, Jesus. God
hallelujah.
Loves you so much. He sent Jesus into the world
yes,
to
he does.
Die
yes,
for
he does.
You.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
He sent Jesus
hallelujah.
Into the world to die for you. He loves you, my sister.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Jesus took your sickness and disease. Believe that.
You are not last place.
God
you are not last
the world.
Place.
Yes, Lord. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, hey, Jesus. That
whosoever
believes in him did not perish.
Yeah,
but I point my hand toward you right now. I don't know whatever direction you
hallelujah.
Live in. I point my hand towards you right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Be healed. Be here. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, lay your nail scar hands up on Jennifer right now as I speak. Lay your nail scar hands up on her right now as I speak. I speak it and I decree it and I declare it in Jesus' name. It is so. It is so. It is so. The devil is a liar. He's the father of liars. He's a murderer, but Jesus said, I got it, Sister Jennifer. God got it. God got it. I want you to believe
it.
When you go to
God
bed tonight and you lay down and sleep, God said he'll give you sweet sleep. And when you awake in the morning, he said, I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to keep you in perfect peace when you keep your mind staying on him. God got your peace. God is your peace. He's your peace. The devil want to steal your joy, but God said no. He got your peace.
Hallelujah.
Your peace right now.
Ooh, hallelujah. Come on, worship him right now.
Lift your hand in the spirit.
Just
on,
worship
somebody.
Him. Just come on. Just give him praise right now. Say, I'm already better. I can already see you working. I can already believe in you working for me. I can feel the manifestation in my body. I'm speaking it into existence. Come on. You got
to
get, you got to change your thinking. You'll change everything else. Let the Lord speak to you right now to encourage you.
Yes. Yes. You're reading to Jennifer. You're about to get through your breakthrough. You're receiving a breakthrough right now. Your breakthrough is on the way.
Hallelujah.
Your breakthrough is on the way. Your breakthrough is right there. Your breakthrough is right there. Let the devil know he's a liar. Tell him he's a liar. He cannot destroy you. He cannot take away your peace. He cannot take away your joy. He cannot take away your joy. That's what he come to do. The Bible says he's a thief. He's a thief. He come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus came to give you life. Receive it. Receive it. Now go ahead on and say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Say
come on. God bless you, woman of God. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, the prayers.
Woo.
You know, it says you know, if you're sick, you better call on the elders and let them pray for you. And you have been prayed for. But now it's time to go to another level. Now it's time for you to take responsibility for you, Jennifer. I am encouraged to speak this word to you tonight because it's not what I can do for you, and it's not what anyone else can do for you. It's what you do for yourself. You have to become strong in the Lord, finally. Not tomorrow, not next week. I'm instructed to tell you right now that you need to become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you have to know what has already been promised to you. You may have never heard this before, but do you know that the promises that God has made for you cannot be tarnished, cannot be taken away, or cannot be changed by man? It's not something physicality can interfere with, but spirituality can either make it or break it. There's no in between. There's no holding on. There's no waiting around. You know, it's called a new covenant, Jennifer. I want you to study this with me tonight. Hebrews chapter 8. I want you to read this chapter from the first verse all the way to the end. It's 13 verses.
13 verses.
I want to talk about Hebrews chapter 8.
Hebrews.
Now, in verse 7, this is something God is showing us how personal he is for you, just like he's personal to me. He says this in verse 7. He says, For if that first covenant had been faultless. Now, you remember that he made a covenant that Abraham would be the father of many nations and that we will cross over into the land of milk and honey. Remember that covenant?
I remember that.
Watch what he says. He says, for if that covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I, now watch how he made it personal. He says, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judea. You should just put your name in there, the house of Jennifer and the house of Jennifer. Not according to the covenant that I made with your father, my father, or anybody else's father. But watch this. In the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. The number one thing you have to know about God and covenant is that it is sovereign. It's something that only can be made. It's not a contract. It's not a lease. It is a stone-clad covenant with God, because covenant pleases God. Because you see where he says, I will make a new covenant. Nobody can make a covenant with you but God. And somebody been telling you, you need to listen to them. Somebody been telling you, you need to follow them. Some doctor that said, you need to take this and take that. But watch what the real doctor is about to tell you tonight. Verse 10, it says, for this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Whose name is there? Jennifer. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. See, when God puts something on you, the number one thing you have to do, Jennifer, is let it in. Are you really? I'm checking you, okay, because this is what it takes. Are you letting the laws of God be in your mind? And you say, well, what is that, Pastor E? The laws to say don't worry. The laws to say don't fret. The laws to say don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. Oh, yeah. See, sometimes we got to check ourselves. We got to take an inventory and say, am I really abiding to the covenant? He says, I will put my laws in their mind and I will write them in their hearts. Now, understand, your mind and your heart is one thing. You have the mind of Christ or you have the heart of the world. If you follow the world, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. But be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you know it's the heart of God you have to pay attention to. Oh, my God. Instead of the mind of the world. Oh, Jesus. See, there's a difference. You got to make up your mind. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. Come on, combine it in. And I will be their God. And they shall. Do you know that word shall is a promise? I shall be, and they shall be my people. Now, this is what's most important for us to get, and this is some people out there right now, but to get this one. In verse 11, he says, none of them shall teach his neighbor and none of his brother, saying, know the Lord. Stop. I am not stomping the fivefold. We need teachers. We need preachers. We need apostles. We need prophets, and we need evangelists. That is what the Bible says we need. But nobody can teach you to know God. Jesus came, the new covenant, that you personally, Jennifer, can pray for yourself, lay hands on yourself, speak into existence the healing that you can get up right now, and all things are passed away because you're new in Jesus. See, somebody might have told you along the way that you're waiting on the right prophet, the right preacher, the right healer to come your way and heal you. He's already came. Oh, my God. That when you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, you get all the benefits. So nobody has to tell you to know God. You can know God for yourself. Don't knock it about the preachers and the teachers. But here, it says this. Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. See, you know what unrighteousness is? That's that I didn't take my right medication. I didn't eat the right things. You don't have to always do something bad. By not taking good care of my health is unrighteousness. But he says, I will be merciful. Do you know mercy is not something you give to somebody who's good? Mercy is for somebody who has done something wrong to you. Mercy is something that has been given to someone who needs mercy. He says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. The one thing I'm going to say to you right now is that you have to stop remembering them also. When God heals you, when God delivers you, you have to start moving in the direction of what he's already done instead of what your mind is trying to tell you to do. And walk in the newness. See, I don't know if Minister Terry told you about this. I know y'all talk a lot, but the definition of new is something never, ever done before. Are you willing to do something that has never, ever been done before? Are you willing to trust him like never, ever before? Are you willing to follow him like never, ever before? And watch this. Are you willing to be forgiven? To receive your mercy and to let the remembrance go away. Because watch what 13 says. And I'm not even going to talk about the new stuff I had written down. Okay. I'm going to speak this into your life and then we're going to go into the rest of our broadcast.
Okay.
Verse 13. It says, in
but
that he
God
says,
for you talking to me.
A new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to varnish away. See, are you ready to let that is ready to go? Are you ready to let that is varnish away really get out of there? Are you really ready to be whole again?
I am.
Are you really ready to get out boat and
I'm
walk
ready.
On the water?
I'm telling you, I talk to him. Every day,
oh my God.
And I'm supposed to be dead, but I'm still here. So I thank God, but
thank
I
God.
Asked my mom to tell me, don't hold
oh my
anger.
God.
Pray.
Ooh.
But for some reason, I haven't been able to let it go. So I'm going to, and I've been praying, and I've been crying all day today, so...
Yes.
Just praying to him. But how do you give forgiveness to someone who hurt you?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that question. See, this is the segment that is called Ask the Pastor. See, first of all, Jennifer, I had to learn how to repent. And when I learned how to repent, it wasn't just saying I was sorry. It was repenting means I had to turn completely 360 degrees away from me. Then I also had to take a 360 from me all the way to God and ask for forgiveness for everything. Now watch this. This is what's most important. I had to learn to now believe. See, once you repent, you have to believe that you have been forgiven. But you cannot believe if you do not really believe in Jesus. Now you say, oh, I do. But hold on, watch this. Do you know who is the author and the finish of repentance? Jesus, because he died for the repentance of your sins. So I got to believe that he did that. Then I learned how to forgive. Oh, my God, look what he did for me. Anything somebody's done to me, This is what helps me get by it. Oh, my God. I'm so glad I get to speak into your life tonight. The only thing that got me by that is when I released people and understood the only reason a person did something wrong to me is because I put myself in that position. The only reason they were able to do it is because I let them. I could have said no. I didn't have to answer the door. I didn't have to get in the car. I didn't have to go there. I didn't have to do this. If I would have stayed with Jesus, the anger would not have been done. And I know this, Jennifer. If I do not forgive, I won't be healed. If I do not forgive, I won't be forgiven. Read Mark chapter 11 tonight.
Okay. Chapter
11. The whole chapter, Mark 11, because in 24 and 25 it says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them so your Father in heaven can forgive you. But then it says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. See, a lot of us is walking around still sick when we've been healed because we haven't forgiven. And forgiveness means you must forget. You have to forget. You've got to let it go.
What they do to you, it don't matter?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've been done wrong. I held on to some things that kept me in bondage. I held on to some things that I was on the sick bed, thought I was about to die. They told me I had a full-blown heart attack. It wasn't nothing wrong with me but sin that was holding me down. Because my mind was so contaminated with all these evil thoughts and all these things that made me feel sick. Don't you know that what you pay attention to, that spirit comes to live in you? If you hear enough depression, what else you going to be? Depressed.
That's true.
If you hear enough craziness, what else are you going to be? You're going to be crazy. You got
to. You know, the thing of it is, it was detrimental to me. I could have died. He should be punished.
But you're alive, aren't you?
Yes.
The Bible says is that vengeance is the Lord's.
It's mine. Vengeance is mine.
Not yours. He said vengeance
no,
is mine.
It's
I said the Lord.
It's his.
Yeah, but it's his. He says cast how many cares?
All your cares on him.
Cares.
Yes.
And guess what? And guess what? If God is not slack to his promises that we all should repent, why are we?
So I'm just
I know why.
The
Lord has just shared with me. I know. The Lord has just shared with me why you are in the situation that you're in. And it's not your fault. I know for a fact it's not your fault. But it's your reason. And that reason must change, Jennifer. And now I know what to pray for. And now I know what to stand in the gap for. And now I know what to intercede for you. Because everything that your physical is going through is behind the spiritual. So I ask God to release and to strengthen you to release. And I pray that as you grow closer to him, that every time that it comes back up, you just say, thank you, Jesus. And learn to not try to cold turkey it. Learn to replace it with something good. Every time something bad comes up, put your mind on something good. Demand it of yourself. Demand it of yourself that you do not let nothing negative speak to you, because that's what's killing you are those evil thoughts, those negative thoughts, because it's keeping you out of your realm of being forgiven. See, you must repent for all those thoughts.
But I didn't do nothing to him.
Listen, hold on, check this out. Okay, but watch this. Watch it. Let me ask you, are we being honest right now?
Yes.
How many evil thoughts have you had?
Oh, you don't want me to tell you that.
Watch what the Bible says.
For him,
as a man thinketh, so is he. And
okay,
I already told you. You know what? I'm gonna open this line up for our news thing. Me and you need to talk on a one-on-one. And I'm glad that we were able to let other people hear how God will bring us together. But I have some real answers for you that I need you to have right now. And what I'm gonna do is I'm going to bring in Minister Terry for What's the Word, and give her an opportunity to share her segment. And me and you are going to go in the green room and talk. In five,
amen.
In four, it
never
is the now news for you.
Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Good evening, listeners. Good evening. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good evening, family. Today, I have some hot topics, hot news. First of all, I want to start with my health care awareness. This month, this week, I'm going to be speaking on domestic violence awareness. Domestic violence. Domestic violence is an attack of the physical, mental, verbal, emotional, economic abuse, sexual abuse, and it usually occurs in intimate relationships between man and woman, or nowadays, different relationships. But it's intimate relationship. Physical can be hands-on. Mental can be verbal. Name-calling, taunting, checking on your every being wherever you are, checking your phone, depriving you of money. And it will be, they may be the only breadwinner, so they're depriving you of money. So that's economic. And it can be sexual. When you say no, no means no. Scripture tells us to let our no's be no's. Amen? And I tell you, family, it goes so far as being considered rape in sexual violation. Because no is no. And if you are suffering, family, or subjected to any of this abuse, you have to get out now. Get out now. John 13 and 34 tells us to love, I have loved you. And there is hope, family. There is hope. And like I said earlier, as we speak, someone somewhere may be domestically violated, abused. Amen? But there is help and there is hope. We can all benefit from a self-defense course. We have to learn to just defend ourselves. It may be someone that's domestically abusing you, and you need to get out of harm's way. You don't want to do harm, but you want to get out of harm's way. We do have a covenant partner with the network, James Hudson. He teaches, and he has videos of self-defense. Teaches you, women and men, how to defend yourself. You get yourself into one of those situations. Also, family, I want you to please take note of the National Domestic Awareness Number. It says domestic violence, but it's violence, but it's being domestically aware that it's going on. The number, 1-800-799-SAFE. 799-SAFE. And the numbers for SAFE are 7233. Family, there's less than 0.5% of domestic violence is reported. And family, I said also men, women, also children. Children, they may not be physically abused, but they are mentally and emotionally abused. Just seeing that their parents are one parent and their partner, seeing and hearing and observing and knowing this, that affects the children and in the home. It affects the child in a way. I think it's 3 to 4 million children ages between 3 and 17 years of age, they are at risk for exposure to domestic violence. And this is yearly. In our country. Ooh, that's a lot, family. Yes, women, we are more prone to domestic violence because of our stature. But men can be victims of domestic violence also. Physically, women and men, I don't know, we got to get the spirits out of them. They're using guns and knives. Then also, family, I'm going back to the words, emotionally, mentally. Words can hurt. Proverbs 21 and 23 tells us, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Hallelujah. That is my segment right there for domestic awareness, for my health awareness. Now I'm going to go right into some hot topics that's been going on in the news. We all know California, and I'm speaking to the country, all over the country. We all know California, we've been had fires. They call it California fires. In California, we've had 17 fires, Northern California and Southern California. Wine country up in Northern California, which it has been affecting Sonoma County, Napa, Mendocino, Yuba. All of these are wine, great. They're wine country. Santa Rosa was just ravaged. I don't know if you guys have followed it on the news, but they're not knowing how the fires have started. But the fire department up there, they're so overwhelmed. Because it's the wind and the warm temperature and the low humidity that's fueling the fires. They had an estimated 670 people missing. 110 of them were located. And 17 people, as far as we know, have lost it. They lost their lives in those fires. There was a couple I watched on the news. They had 198 years combined. He was 100, she was 98. And they had been married 25 years. She was bedridden, had a previous stroke. He tried to make it from one side of the house, and he couldn't get to his queen. He called her his queen. And that's what I say. Glory be to God. You know, but you guys, we have to just pray. We have to pray, continue to keep them, Northern California, lifted up in prayer because the fires are still going. The fire departments, the firefighters are exhausting themselves because they can't get a handle on it. It's just ravaging through the lands up there. And I just pray, too, because last year at this time, I had a nephew that was up north, and he was fighting these fires also. So I say, oh, pray for him. Father, family, just pray for him. Our next fire in California we have is, they call it the Canyon Hill Fire. September, I think it was around the 24th, Canyon Hills, out of Anaheim Hills, Orange County, they had the first fire. And Monday, in which also wine country, their fire occurred on Monday from, I think it was Sunday night to Monday morning. And this one in Anaheim Hills occurred also Monday later in the afternoon at 1:30. I tell you, family, it's something about Sunday night to Monday morning because it was taking me back thinking about the victims of Las Vegas. You know, that was a Sunday night to Monday morning. So we just have to keep our nation, keep our world, God's world, keep it in prayer because so much is going on. But back to the Anaheim Hills fire. That fire, they're not sure if these fires, well, this one especially in the Anaheim Hills area, they're not sure if it's arson or what. But that one, it's about 45% contained. And 45% can't contain. People are so, they were so hopeful. They were just thanking God that everyone made it out alive because when it comes to fires, your life is valuable. Personal belonging can be replaced, but your life means a lot. Glory be to God. Didn't I tell you, family, through all the hurricanes, the fires, earthquakes, and what have we, natural disasters, we've just been having them back to back. to make sure each and every one of us, our families, our households, our extended family, make sure we have a plan of action. What will we do if we had this an emergency? Because these people that's had the fire, the hurricane, and the earthquake, they didn't have any warning. You have to have a plan. Because when things like this, these are major catastrophes, may go on. Your cell phone you got, you may not be able to contact your loved ones, your family members. You want to have a designated area where you're going to meet up at. Just say some of the family members are out of the home. Or you want to be able to, if you have to leave the home, have a place, a designated place to move. Just be ready. When we be ready for these, we don't have to get there. You have to communicate. You have, and it starts from within the home. You have to have a plan. Don't wait till the last minute. Okay, so that's it for my fire segment. Okay, the good thing about California fire, our president, he has already signed our declaration for our disaster relief. Yes, now I'm going back to another disaster, Puerto Rico. On the news today, Puerto Rico, they have 16% electricity on the island. And they have enough, they don't have enough water or enough food. They're giving out like a small box food per household for a 2-day supply. Oh, Jesus. They have water sitting still there, that's been sitting still since Irma, Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Maria. And you know, when there's water sitting still in the heat, humidity, mosquitoes can form. And not only mosquitoes, but bacteria builds up. And the president, President Trump, he has already written a loan, $1 billion, a loan. $4.9 billion, don't let me get tie-tongued on this, $4.9 billion is coming as a treasury loan. $1.5 million to make that $5 billion is from FEMA. And you know, Puerto Rico has a $36.5 billion disaster. And this is a loan. This is the loan. This is what they're saying, a loan versus the promised debt relief. Ooh, glory be to God, our country. We need prayer. We have a lot going on, family. There's a lot going on in the news, but do not take your eyes off the Lord. Hallelujah. Peace, family. My next news I want to share. This has been a hot topic that's just been resonated in my heart. Sexual harassment. Yes, sexual harassment is happening every day somewhere. April is really the sexual harassment awareness month, but it's been coming up. You guys have probably been seeing on the news the Hollywood mogul Harry Weinstein. A dozen women or so, some well-known celebrities, they're coming out now. They're coming out the woodworks. Yes, what he has done is wrong. Amen. I tell you, 1 John 2:16 tells us the lust of the eyes and the flesh is from the world and not from God. One woman said that she went up to his hotel room to show and go over a script. My God. Men, women, and children, we have to use with individual. He's a business person. Why, and you, supposedly she was too, why would you go up to the hotel room? Family, his office, a coffee shop, a public restaurant, a library, anywhere but the hotel room. This is a classic case of two wrong choices will never make a right decision. This, when I was looking at this on the news, it took me back to thinking about why they don't report these things right now and get them on record when they happen. But we know why. Arbitration and things like that, and they don't want to jeopardize their career. But why do it now? Do it now when it happens, not tomorrow, but you got to put coming out later. Just do it now. There's so many things that's pending. There's more people still coming out with different things. But with his company, the company he works for, works with his name on it, the Weinstein Company, fired him. And they plan to have a name change to continue to do business as soon as possible. USC, University of Southern California, they're refusing to take his $5 million donation. Ooh, gee. I tell you. And Gloria Allred, she's the attorney of attorneys for women. She's representing these women. There was one case, a young lady in New York. She had a prior conversation with him. They sent her back with a recording. She got it on recording, but somehow that incident fell through and nothing became of it. And his wife, yes, the poor soul had a wife and doing these things. His wife is planning her divorce as we speak. Hallelujah. I tell you, family, there's so many things going on. And he jetted out. I think it was last night he jetted out on a private plane to Europe, stating that he was going to go seek rehab. You know, sexual immorality will not get you in the kingdom of God. Rehab. He wants rehab now. I tell you, the word of God, when you apply it to your life, you can get rid of any addiction. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Family, that wraps it up for my hot topics and my Now Network news for tonight. God bless you, family. Amen?
Yes, amen, amen. To God be the glory that it's not about the person. It's about everybody. You brought up some stuff that's going on both sides. We got some major stuff going on. I hate to point fingers because of the simple fact that there's a lot of things going on that's to discredit individuals and cultures and things like that, that we just need to find out all the truth so we know what has really been going on and what's really been happening. All I can do is say pray. Don't pass judgment. Don't point fingers. Don't say, just pray. Just pray. Lord, reveal. Lord, show. Lord, provide. Lord, give us what you would have us to do. Great, great segment, Minister
Amen.
Cherry. It is time for our Money Minute with Minister Rashad.
Amen. It's time to rise and shine, people of God. It's time to rise consciously, people of God. It's time to go up, people of God. It's now time to prosper now, people of God. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Wednesday night session of the Now Network. I'm just excited to be here. We want to talk about today, Kingdom Solutions to Financial Problems. That's right, Kingdom Solutions to Financial Problems. My time is going to be a little short today, unfortunately, because I have another engagement I have to get to. But I do want to impart some information before I do go tonight. And I want to thank our wonderful host once again, Pastor E, and Minister Terry and her family and everyone for allowing me to be here today. So just excited and just so excited about what the hand of God is doing. And, my speak today is just talking about the kingdom solutions to financial problems. You know, as I'm sitting here just listening to all those things that are going on in the world, I'm just so excited about what we're doing on the other side, you know, where God wants us to focus at, where God wants to take us to. And it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge because it's dealing with money. And money is almost like the nerve center to everyone's household, to their lifestyle and everything that's going on with them. And, you know, when you think about that money, it's just something that resonates, either going to make us feel uncomfortable or, depending on where you're at, make you feel comfortable that you got it together, you got it going on. But for a lot of our folks, I mean, I know a lot of them are nervous, and they got that nice smile on their face. But at the same time, you know, behind that smile is the question mark and the disillusionment and the wondering and the guessing, you know, am I going to get it together? Am I going to be able to have some peace of mind? See, because when the money's messed up, you don't have no peace of mind. As much as you try to, you know, it's hard to get that peace of mind unless the money's together. And so with a lot of praying and a lot of, you know, speaking to God and talking to God, you know, you can get that peace where the money's not controlling your state of mind. But today I want us to learn and talk about learning to raise your financial consciousness. Okay, you might want to write that one down. Learn to raise your financial consciousness. See, that's part of the solution to the financial problem. We got to learn to raise our financial consciousness. You know, it takes me back to Joshua 1:8, where it says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips and meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written therein. Then you will make your way. You will make your way. You will make your way prosperous and have good success." See, Jesus said already in Matthew 16:19, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom." And one of those most important keys that he gave us or told us to work on is financial management, or just management in general, the principle of management. You know, because if you're not managing the situation, then the situation is managing you. And when I think about everything that's going on and all the challenges that we have, I look at the bigger picture. You know, while we're running around and scattered, the power base is in coming together. You know, right now, when you look at the U.S. statistics, it says that right now, as consumers, that means everybody, you know, there's 321 million people that make up America. They say that right now we're carrying a debt load of $12.75 trillion. That's America, you know, the consumers. We're in debt to $12.75 trillion with a T, dollars, not billion, trillion. That's almost double the number of where we were in 2008. In 2008, we were only at $611 billion. It's like watching the meter on your car spin, and you closed the door and got out, it was at 611, and then you come back and get in your car, it's at 12.5, some 8-9 years later, and you wonder, you know, who got in your car and drove all those miles? You know, why are we racking up so much debt? It's probably because we can't pay for and keep up with the lifestyles just to maintain some of the things that we're trying to keep just from an existence standpoint. You know, a couple of the things that pointed out to me was that, you know, the mortgages are like 71% of the debt load. Then we got student loans at 10.6 or maybe 11%. You got credit card debt at 6% and auto loans at 9.2. So when I just look at those three, student loans, credit cards, and auto, that's like 26% right there. That's why a lot of our millennials now are heavily saddled in debt. Why they're still probably living at home with mom and dad, even though they got the college education and everything else. You know, when they come out, you know, there's not the money that they're making is not enough for them to move out on their own yet. So they have to revert back to living back at home. So, you know, the American dream, what they told us it was, you know, go to school, you know, get the degree, come out, get a good job, and then start your life. It's gotten disruptive. It's become disruptive. We've heard that word a lot in the industry, disruptive. But I see that we as a people need to come together. I mean, we have all these individual solutions we can do to fix my house and fix my – but what good is it to fix my house if my neighbor's house is raggedy? What good is it to fix my roof and my neighbor's roof is raggedy? What good does it make to fix my car and my neighbor can't drive his car and I have the tools and the knowledge to do so? So this issue, this challenge is so big. I see that the only way it's going to really, 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 really turn around is that we have to think, act, and work like – and study the plans that other successful groups have used to elevate themselves. You know, when they came here in the 1900s and the 1800s and the early 1920s, I mean, they banded together. Those communities banded together and started putting their dollars together to be able to lend to each other and to start building enterprises and to start acquiring things, and they all shared in the wealth. They all shared in the upward mobility of the situation. And we still have not gathered. That spirit has not been invoked into us yet. And that is the way that I feel is really going to happen. You know, when we look at ourselves as a community, once again, we make up about 43 million of the 323 million people that live here in America, okay? We make up 43 million. African-American community, I'm talking to you for a moment. Excuse me, my other friends out there. But I'm talking to the African-American community for a minute. We make up 43 million approximately of the 323 million Americans that live here in America. Okay, and then, you know, with that being said, you know, we as a people have a buying power. Okay, it shows in the statistics. You know, when you go back and check it yourself, you can go Google it. We have a buying power in 2017 of $1.3 trillion. Now, I don't know how we in debt for $12.7 trillion, but at the same time, we as a people have the buying power or using our buying power that we're going to spend $1.3 trillion. As a people in 2017. That's what it says. We're already 10 months into it, and that's what the statistics are showing, that we're going to spend as a people $1.3 trillion. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money that's going through a lot of other people's hands. That's not enhancing us. That's not taking us to the next level. That's not allowing us to enterprise and grow and become that next strong fabric of the community and anchor of the community and something that, you know, our kids will have a place for a job that they can go to and work when they get out of school. And they can become the accountants. They can be the lawyers. They can be the CEOs. Why do they have to go and work for someone else? Because we don't have the major platform set up yet. We haven't gone across vertically across yet to allow that to happen. But I believe and I know that God has given us a way out, as he always does. He says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. This is one of the keys. It's collectively. It's collectively. When Moses came out of Egypt and they got out and God blessed them to go across, you know, the Red Sea, they did it collectively. He just didn't send two out of time, one at a time. When he told Moses, you ain't going into the promised land, Joshua's going, they did it collectively. Okay, so it's about the collective effort that makes a difference. And so once we can get past all these little other minor issues that the world is trying to have us focus on, the world is, I mean, I appreciate what the sister was sharing, Minister Terry, earlier, but the world, I mean, that's the plan of the networks. That's the plan of the, give you all this garbage for the American mind, the American mind, the can, that can, everybody's just trying to dump their garbage into you. You got to block that stuff out. You don't even want to partake in it. You don't even want to listen to it. You don't even want to let that get into your spirit, as the pastor was saying earlier. Some things you don't even want to let into your spirit. When I see that channel, I'm just quickly turning because I need to keep my eyes on the sparrow. I need to keep my eyes on the hill whenceforth my help coming from. No, I'm not going to be naive about what's happening, but I know there's a lot of spirits that are sent on assignment to distract us, to destroy us, and to get us to become this consumable monster and not even paying attention to what it's doing to us and how it's taking away from us week by week, month by month, year by year. And it's just bleeding us to death in terms of our capabilities and what we can do if we really package that together and came together as a unit. So getting back to my point, we got $1.3 trillion. They're projecting we're going to utilize between January and December of 2017. And there's 43 million of us. Now imagine, if you would, that with the 43 million African Americans that we have, if we gave $100 to a group or an association that we created and owned ourselves, $100 times 43 million people, you know, we would be sitting on $4.3 billion. Just $100. We might give you a whole 6 months to come up with it, okay? I know you do the math. 6 months divided by $100 means you got to put away maybe like 20 cents a day, you know, every day for the next 6 months, and you come up with $100 or break it away. But sometimes it makes that, you know, it requires a sacrifice. A sacrifice. See, Jesus made a sacrifice for us to relieve us from our sins so we could be redeemed and we could have eternity with him. He made a sacrifice. So sometimes in order to change a life, you got to give up a life. Sometimes in order to get something new that you never had before, you got to let go of something old that you've been utilizing before. So it, when I talked about earlier, you got to raise your financial consciousness, You got to look around and see, how did the Latinos do it? How did the Jews do it? How did the Italians do it? How did the Chinese do it? How did the Japanese do it? How did the Vietnams do it? I mean, all of these groups have found a way to leverage themselves up where they own blocks of shopping centers, blocks of senior care facilities, blocks of malls, blocks of car dealerships. You know, why? Because they came together with a plan, and now they're able to help each other be able to move forward. And I'm not mad at you. You can't be mad about that. You got to learn from that. So here we are with 43 million people, $100 a piece. That's $4.3 billion. Okay, let's take it one more step bigger. Let's go bigger. Okay, let's say that we use 43 million African Americans once again, and we said, okay, we're going to give you 9 months to a year to come up with $1,000 extra. I know you get a tax return check of $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 and everything else in between, and you get the birthday cards, you get gifts, and, you know, that trip you was planning on going to Cancun or whatever. You know, we say, hey, honey, we ain't going to use that money this year. We're going to take that $1,000 and put it into that pledge fund of that association so we can have something greater down the road. Okay, that's serving us. Okay, it needs to serve us, because so many times we put money into things, it ain't really serving us. It looks good on the outside. I don't want to just walk out with a toaster. I don't want to just walk out with an iron. I don't want to just walk out with a new blender. I need to walk out with something that's going to help improve myself and my community. Amen. And so let's take that 43 million African Americans times $1,000 each. Each household, 43 million, put in $1,000 a piece. You know, we're sitting on $43 billion. You talk about, you know, we worry about all these issues with police brutality and they ain't treating you right there. Man, when you got $43 billion, you ain't got to worry about protesting in the streets. See, that's why the other groups, they ain't got to protest in the streets. Why? Because they got their economic situation together. They got their economic community together, so they know that they have the power and they have the force. See, power respects power. Money respects money. Unity respects unity. When you ain't got no economic, financial power, that's what America respects, that it's hard for them to even listen to you. But when you're controlling the strings because you got that type of money, now they have a different attitude towards you. They know they just can't run ripshod up in your communities because you have so much power. You could hire the best attorneys. You got the stores that look right. You could patrol and police your own selves now because you're trying to protect and preserve what you have. So that kind of pushes back some of that pushback because they say, they ain't got nothing, they ain't come from nothing, they ain't going to be nothing, so I can just run over them anytime I want to. But they don't do that in other communities. Why? Because those people are unified, and more importantly, they got the money behind them. See, they don't want to mess up that money. That money is so important. So without $43 billion, here's what that does for us. Let's look at it this way. This is a new one for some of you out there. There's a group out there that the wealthy have been using for years, almost back 100 years. It's called private equity groups. Please write that down. Private equity groups. Private family offices. Private equity groups. Private family offices. Write those two down. And I want you to look them up. I don't have time to go through all of the nuts and bolts of it, but I just want to make a point. These are the groups that are either managed by a wealthy family or is managed by a management of financial experts, and these are the people that get money from your pension fund. The teachers' credit pension fund, they give them money. The Teamsters give them money. The Automobile Association, they give them money. Why? They're trying to take that money that they're giving them out of your paycheck to make sure it's going to be available when you retire in 10, 15, 20 years. So they collect the money, but they don't manage the money. They take that money, and they now pass it on. They pass it on to another group on the outside that has global investments and national investments. That's what the private equity groups do. And so these people are sitting on billions of dollars to invest back for those pension funds that's going to need that money in 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And when they're giving it to them, they're giving it to them at $1 to $2 to $5 billion a whop. Okay, so January 2018 is coming up. The Teachers Credit Union, which is the largest, CalPA, is the largest union pension fund in the United States. It's the largest pension fund in the United States. They'll give probably $20 billion away to three or four different asset management groups called these private equity groups to manage his money for him. So just in terms of size and scope for a minute, let's look at some of these private equity groups. The largest one in the country right now is called Apollo. Now, hold on to that number I gave you. If we had $43 billion, I want you to see where we would come in as a people, as a group, as a united front compared to them. Okay, the Apollo Management Group out of New York City, they're traded on the New York Stock Exchange, APO. I'm not trying to sell their stock or anything. I'm just saying they're managing $150 billion. That's what they call AUM, Asset Under Management. They're managing $150 billion. You know, they get like a 2% fee just for managing the money every year, 2 to 3%. Then they get 20% of whatever profits they make on the money as well, give or take. So even before they go out and write a check and do anything, you know, they're getting 2% of that $150 billion. You do the math on that. So they're number one sitting on $150, okay? Number two is called Blackstone Group, also out of New York. They got offices in London, Hong Kong, Beijing, Dubai. You know, it's called the Blackstone Group. Once again, traded on the New York Stock Exchange. You know, they're sitting on $146 billion in private money that came from your pension funds, that came from your insurance companies, that came from, you know, the wealthy families of the world that gave them money to oversee for them, putting it into the market, energy, retail, technology, real estate, you know, new ventures coming in, medical devices, et cetera. Then number three on the list is the Carlyle Group out of Washington, D.C., the Carlyle Group, sitting on $124 billion, okay, doing the same thing. Then we got KKR and Company, not KKK, don't get it twisted. It's KKR, which stands for Kohler, Kravis, and Roberts Company. Okay, they've been around since, you know, the early 1989, okay? And they were the kings of what they called the leverage buyouts back in the day when they were trying to buy Philip Morris and that whole thing in Nabisco back in the day. They were some of the ones that did that. But anyway, they're at $98 billion. I mean, they're managing $98 billion of wealthy families and pension fund money and money that's been given to them by other sovereign nations around the world that they're just managing for them. Okay, now we come down to number five, the Ares Management Group. They're sitting on, they're out of Los Angeles. They're right here in our own backyard. They're sitting on $75 billion with investments in London, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and around the world. Okay, number six on the list here is Oaktree Capital Management, sitting on $70 billion. So I'm not going to go through the rest of the list, but the number 10, that's what I wanted to get to. Number 10 is the Adrian. It's called Adrian, A-R-D-I-A-N, A-R-D-I-A-N, Adrian, is another asset management private equity group. They're only managing $45 billion in private equity assets, okay? 45. Now, if we showed up onto the show, we put our money together, as I just mentioned, we're sitting on $43 billion with just $1,000. We would be number 11 on the list is the point I was trying to get to. Woo! We would be number 11. We would be number 11 in terms of status, economic pull, and great things that we can do around the country and around the world, whether it's Frankfurt, New York, Singapore, London, Cairo, you know, Dubai. We, you know, how many businesses could we start? How many McDonald's could we buy? How many Howard Johnson hotels? How many Days Inn could we get? How many Wendy's could we own? How many car dealerships could we buy? How many Ford franchises could we get? Huh? How many Marriott could we own? Okay. How many businesses could we launch and start that we see they need help in Detroit? They need help in Houston. They need help in Florida. They need help over there in Dallas. They need help over there in Los Angeles. They need help in San Francisco and Sorona Parks and, you know, Cleveland, Ohio. You know, we don't got to worry about going to the bank. Why? We are the bank. Okay? We are the bank. And so when you have that kind of clout and power and they know you got it and you're putting your money into things that are helping to fuel technology, because we have a lot of masterminds in our own communities who have never been heard, never been seen, and don't get a chance to really display their excellence in these new applications and roles only because they don't have the exposure, they don't know who to talk to, and they don't have access to the money. And see, these are the type of companies that will give you money and give you like a two-year window to develop it, finish it, market it, and make it happen before they're looking for a return on investment. They're looking for long-term investments. And see, these people are wise. See, they're always thinking 10 and 20 years in advance. And it wouldn't take us nothing but a year or less. to come up with $43 billion. Once you have 43, that key word I talked about yesterday on the other talk was called leverage. Because $43 billion can really be turned into another $22 million off of that, because you can leverage that while getting a line of credit against your 43. You get a line of credit off your 43. A bank, I know of a lot of investment banks, I know they'll give us $22 million or $22 billion. They'll give us like $22 billion off our $43 billion. Okay? That's leverage. That's power. How many apartment buildings can we take over? How many apartment buildings can we tear down and rebuild? How many senior care facilities can we now put in place, and then we get to control the rent and how much we're going to charge for our seniors that need a place to go? How many assisted living centers can we put together? Okay? So when we come together, a lot of the problems get solved fast. And the other major key that comes out of this, everybody's got $1,000 in there. They're getting a check quarterly now. Hello? They're getting a check quarterly because they're part of this association that's bringing money back to them, that's circulating. Can we give our sister a beauty shop, a beauty salon, or can we give them the hair and nail shop? Can we give them the place where they're going to buy the beauty supplies from? Because when you look at us as a people, I mean, we're spending most of our money on groceries, beauty salons, beauty supplies, and we're spending it on the cars and all those. I mean, can't we control those things in our neighborhood? Because we see the other communities doing it. It's not rocket science. We're not reinventing the wheel. It's called this. We need to study this very carefully. It's called OPK. That's learning other people's knowledge, OPK, other people's knowledge. They've done it. So I want you to go back and study these companies I gave you. I know I gave them to you. Read the recording back or just go look them up. The top 10 private equity companies in the United States. Go look them up, the top 10. And then you see if the numbers about where I said them. Then we got OPP, study other people's plans. OPP, other people's plans. You ain't got to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. See, Domino's didn't invent pizza. They, you know, God bless them, Mr. Thomas Monahan did not invent pizza. All he did was say, it's 30 minutes or it's what? Free. And it made him a billionaire. So we ain't got to reinvent the wheel. Just do it 10% better. But come together first, and the rest will take care of itself. Then we got other people's plans. Study other people's plans. Then we got OPM. Other people's minds. I know some of you want to use that other expression, but study OPM, other people's minds. Their minds, where are their minds at? On YouTube, in books, in articles, periodicals, all those other things. That's where you can pick up their mindsets. And then there's OPM2, okay? Other people's money systems. This is the one I just talked about. There's a money system they're using. Now, we don't need the pension fund to give us no money. We don't need the people from Singapore to give us no money. All we got to do is open our minds and talk to our people and say, hey, look, this is the plan. Here's the 3-year plan. Here's the 5-year plan. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to buy. Here's how we're going to put it together. And then you bring together those innovative minds. You pool the talent. It's pooled talent resources. It's pooled talent resources coming together and using those people that got the MBAs and their BAs and their MAs and everything else in between that know how to leverage and use this money. That's $43 billion. That could be raised. I mean, we could talk to 43 athletes that have this kind of money that they can put in $10 million, $5 million, $3 million. I mean, we got a guy in Oklahoma that just signed a $200 million contract. God bless him. I'm happy he got it because I know his family didn't get the 40 acre and a mule. But Russell Westbrook, I mean, he just got a $225, $235 million contract for 5 years. I mean, if the owner can afford to pay him that kind of money, how much money is he sitting on? How much money is he projecting he's going to make as a result of entertaining his crowd night in and night out? Okay, so we got to think big like the owners think. Got to stop thinking the small way. We got to think the big way. So go back and look at these companies I talked about. Look at the top 10. And then you think about that number I gave you. There's 43 million plus or minus of us here in the U.S. We make up about 12 to 13% of the U.S. population. And there's strength in numbers. Strength in numbers. And so all we have to do is put together the plan because it already said we're going to spend $1.3 trillion. Shouldn't we pull out $43 million of that before it goes to the basket, it goes to the barn in the basket? Before we spend that $1.3 trillion, I mean, if that's 2017's number, I can only imagine what 2018 is going to be, okay? So I'm getting in the front of this. I'll be back with the pastor first week in November, and I'll be talking more about this, and we'll have something ready to go. ready to talk about and ready to engage. I don't want to talk about it. It's not an investment. Don't think about an investment. Because when you think about investment, it puts all kinds of different connotations. This is an association. This is like your family getting together saying you're going to do something together. You and your family can go buy a car together. You and your family can go buy a house together. You and your family can go buy groceries together. You and your family can go buy a Christmas tree together. Okay? But now here, you and your family are going to come together and go ahead and start owning a piece of your blocks. Start owning some hotels. Start owning some of these corporations. Amen?
Let's invest together.
Invest together. There you go.
Let's
pull our resources together.
Come on now. This is dynamic. We're looking to, I've just been in prayer today and listening to the Lord speak. And we're looking to go into some other areas of our finances and making that a definite day, not mixing other subjects, but we really need this to be a focused subject. And we're looking for God to move that. We're looking for some workshops here in the Compton, Southern California area. We already have a location I want to get with you. I got some things I just need to talk to you about offline that I know God is about to know. And I know you have something about to take place tonight. So, man of God, awesome, as always.
Thank you, Pastor E. God bless your family. God bless your network. And just continue to rise and continue to stay faithful to the Lord. And the Lord is going to stay faithful to you all as well. Amen.
Be blessed, my brother. Enjoy your meeting. And give me a call tomorrow. Early. I'm available.
Amen.
Early.
I'm you. Amen. Sister Terry, Minister Terry, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Yes,
yes
early
sir.
As you call,
I'll give
it early, I'll answer. All right, God bless.
Yes, sir. God bless.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. This is that time. The Now Network News at 6, 8, and 9. We want to continue to remind you of some of our major events going on here with the network. We want to provoke you into your purpose. White Friday 2017, the covenant, that's the commitment to not spending any money on Friday, November 24th, 2017, aka Black Friday. All the commercials, all of the sales, all of the deals, all of this, I guarantee you will not be happy the next day. Commit not to spending any money on Friday, November 24th, 2017, aka Black Friday. And also committing to opening a savings account within a Black-owned bank or savings account on that same day, November 24th. Committing to saving at least $10 or whatever your budget will allow. But I'm talking to press, to push for this. We're talking about the no-look account, the no-look envelope. Commit to $10 a week in the no-look account, plus that extra change, plus that extra money. Committing to community service by spending at least one day helping others before the 31st of December. That's the last day of this month. And committing to donating at least $25 extra to your church, your favorite ministry, your favorite charity, that God can bless that before the end of this year. Yes, White Friday 2017. That is the covenant. We want to continue to provoke you into that. Remember, Breast Cancer Awareness Month is October, and we are also sponsoring and supporting a Walk for a Cure in Compton with our councilwoman Jana Zarita and our Compton Unified School District President Satra Zarita as they sponsor a Walk for a Cure here in Compton. Also, Domestic Violence Month, on October 28th, yes, we have a mighty man of God that has been through domestic violence. He's going to be on Real Talk with Pastor E, October 28th, sharing how us men need to come out the closet who have been abused as well as other. Then, also, sexual harassment for the month of October, we want to spread that. We want to share that, and we want to ask others, if you need to be heard, you need someone to talk to, you're going through this, please dial our P2P hotline, 562-413-3710, and we will contact you. We will be very, very discreet, but we will be available for you to share what's going on. I don't care who you are. Please share your needs, share your situation going on in your life, and that's what this is all about. supporting one another, getting out the information, and sharing this. Now, in our recap, in our closing, I want to say this right now, that our nation is in turmoil. We have so many things going on right now that could change in a matter of seconds. Oh, no, not the second. When? Now. But in seconds, by so many decisions that are being made by the leaders of our country. Now we have our leaders getting involved in business. Now we have our leaders getting into sports. Now we have our leaders getting into family matters, which are really not politics, but politics are now starting to play a heavy foothold in every area that the physical world will have to say, well, I throw that all aside. And I still dare you to pray. I still dare you to forgive. I still dare you to love. I still dare you, oh my God, to repent. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand for you as well as it is for me. Oh, we got hurricanes. We got earthquakes. We got fires. We got disasters. We got murders. We got mass murders. We have so many signs of what the Bible has told us as truth that we need to repent. Get ready. Get ready, church, because the church is coming. And it's not just for me. It is not just for ratings. It's not just for numbers. It is for the truth. Now, in the last 3 minutes, we've lost 40 callers. Because I'm going to shout it, and I'm going to shout it from the top of the mountains. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm not trying to point fingers. I am just trying to recognize and to identify and to organize that repentance is my key to believe in Jesus and know that forgiveness is available, that now I can forgive someone else. Family, don't leave this place the same. Don't continue in the old way. Don't settle just for anything. Challenge. Get purpose. Know your assignment and know that it all comes from God. Because with him, we can do all things, but without him, we can do nothing. Family, you are loved, you are honored, you are appreciated in Jesus' name. But the most important thing I need you to know tonight, oh my God, you were beautifully made by God. You are his greatest miracle. Stand up and start to act like it and watch God move like never before. Love you. Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.